Radio Derb here, ladies and gentlemen, and this is your unassuagably genial host, John Derbyshire, with the news of the hour this July 4th weekend. I mentioned last week that we had received emails grumbling about our intro music, which is taken from Franz Joseph Haydn's Derbyshire Marches. Ever eager to please, I called for suggestions to replace Haydn. The nation rose up in indignation at that, with emails running 9-1 in favour of Haydn. After consulting with my producers and the suits from upstairs, I have decided to square the circle by keeping Haydn as our main theme music, but varying it from time to time with guest appearances from Beethoven, Richard Strauss, Fauré, John Philip Sousa, and the other replacements that readers kindly suggested. The only suggestion that will definitely not be introducing Radio Derb is the song Always Look on the Bright Side of Life from the movie Monty Python's Life of Brian. That would be totally at odds with our mission statement here at Radio Derb, which is to leave the listener in a state of unmitigated despair. Life may indeed have a bright side, I couldn't say, but don't be looking for it in these purlieus. Our theme at Radio Derb is one of inspissated gloom. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court decided Ritchie versus De Stefano, the case of the promotion test for firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut. That was thrown out, the test was thrown out, I mean, by the city of New Haven, because no black firefighters passed it. Now, you might think that Radio Derb would depart from the gloom track on this one and celebrate a blow against discrimination. In this case, naked and open discrimination against white firefighters, since nobody this side of Alpha Centauri thinks that the test would have been thrown out if no white firefighters had passed. We decline to celebrate, though. Justice Ginsburg's remark in her dissent that, quote, "The court's order and opinion, I anticipate, will not have staying power," is, we believe, correct. The tribalization of America is advancing too fast to be stopped now. A decision like Ritchie, while good in itself, is merely a speed bump on our nation's road to ethnic disaggregation. The logic of disparate impact is that since all human groups are perfectly equal in all capabilities, it should be possible to devise a written test of knowledge in which all groups deliver the same performance statistics, the same average scores, and the same standard deviations. Unfortunately, nobody has yet been able to come up with such a test in 40 years of trying. This rather strongly suggests that the disparate impact doctrine rests on a false premise. None of our Supreme Court justices has the guts to say this out loud, though, although Clarence Thomas came pretty close. And liberals like Ginsburg will cheerfully tear up the Constitution before they admit it. In conversation with a friend, when we got to this point, he said, "Perhaps after another 40 years, the liberals will have no choice but to admit it." I replied that after another 40 years, our tribalization will likely have advanced to the point where each race has its own Supreme Court, so the issue will be moot. If you look closely at the Ritchie case, you see the politics of ethnic spoils. Being a firefighter is certainly dangerous and demanding work. It's well compensated in most of the nation's cities, though. Like cops and corrections officers, firefighters have pretty good packages, allowing them to retire early on generous pensions. Ethnic lobby groups look at that enviously and say, "Hey, we want our piece of that. Where's our piece?" That is practically the slogan of a spoils system. Where's our piece? It's how spoils systems operated in the corrupt big city machines of the 19th century. Where's our peace? It's the question being asked in the Ritchie case by the Reverend Boyesi Kimber, one of those community leaders. That title, Reverend, kind of gives you the clue, doesn't it? One of those community leaders whose life's work is to advance his own people against any and all interests of the citizenry at large. In this particular case, the interest in having competent firefighters to pull us out of burning buildings. Reverend Kimber was actually on New Haven's board of fire commissioners until he had to resign after being heard saying that he wouldn't hire certain recruits because, quote, they just have too many vowels in their names. How do you crush this kind of spoils system politics? Why, by instituting rigorous and impartial procedures for hiring and promotion, including written examinations. Those are the two choices you have. There are no others. Either you have a spoils system built around bullying, intimidation, and the question, where's our peace? Or you have a rigorous civil service selection system involving written exams. That's the choice. Take your pick. The Liberal justices showed very plainly that they prefer the spoils system. The prevailing justices in Ritchie seemed to prefer rigorous selection procedures, but they didn't quite have the guts to do what needs to be done to reinstate such a system. The Liberals have therefore won by default, even while losing this one judgment. I say again, Justice Ginsburg is surely correct when she writes, "The court's order and opinion will not have staying power." No, it will not. The future of America is a tribal spoils system. It's what the Liberals want, and they own the commanding heights of American society. So, it's what we shall get. Having just spent 3 days being lectured at by professors of economics, I am naturally attracted to economic news items. Here's one from Bloomberg. Headline, payrolls fall more than forecast. Unemployment rises. Main point, nearly 500,000 jobs lost last month, more than anyone expected. With the unemployment rate still rising and wages stagnating, there's no sign that the Obama administration's stimulus package is having the desired effect. As those egghead economists at the seminar told us, though, this is a glass-half-empty, glass-half-full scenario, as practically everything is in the dismal science, with pro-stimulus economists arguing that things would be way worse without the stimulus, and anti-stimulus economists jumping up and down and saying, "See, we told you it wouldn't work." There are, by the way, Nobel Prize winners on both sides of that argument. Reflecting on this, I'm ashamed to have used the phrase dismal science. If economics is a science, then so are the offerings of Madame Blotsky, my local psychic. Whatever kind of mess we have gotten ourselves into, I'm not looking to economists to get us out of it. I did learn this much at the seminar, though. What's going on here is nothing like as bad as what happened from 1929 to 1933. 9.5% unemployment? Try 25%. 56 bank failures? Try 9,000. Industrial production down 15%? Try 52%. Always look on the bright side of life. Oh, wait a minute. I think I can hear that Monty Python song playing in the distance. I better stop here for fear of violating Radio Derb guidelines. Democracy throws up some strange results, and throws up seems like precisely the right way to describe the election, ratified this week after months of wrangling, of TV comedian Al Franken to the world's greatest deliberative body. Not that the skill sets are all that different, senator and comic. Juvenal wondered how Democritus, the laughing philosopher, would have been able to hold back his mirth if confronted with the bogus gravitas of Roman power, the praetor uplifted in his lofty car, etc., etc. I don't know about that, but if Democritus could have seen the US Senate, with Harry Reid holding on to the podium to keep even himself awake, and Robert Byrd drooling quietly off in a corner somewhere, when Al Franken rides in his clown car to pour a bucket of water over a squealing Barbara Boxer, I don't see how he could have survived. Anyway, here's Al, ready to, quote, hold down health costs by making sure people have access to nutritious food, places to exercise, and havens from violence, end quote. I have a pretty nice haven from violence out here in the burbs, Al, and a safe full of guns to defend it if I need to. What I'm looking for is a haven from liberal politicians trying to live my life for me, after first taking my money and giving it to their pals in the spoils system. Mind you, Al, I'm always up for a bit of humour. If your next book is titled Arlen Specter is a Duplicitous Toad, I'll buy a copy. News from the backward, hopeless sinkholes of the world. Local security in Iraq is being given to the Iraqis, so they can find themselves a new dictator. Someone who puts so much fear into the various ethnicities of the place, they won't dare start up a civil war. We could probably have done this ourselves 6 years ago, but for reasons I don't understand, we felt we had to go through the motions of elections, parliaments, and so on. With any luck, we'll be out of the stinking place in a year or so, and the Iraqis can return to their traditional folk ways. In Afghanistan, where we're fighting that terrifically important war to ensure that, with the aim of, in Afghanistan, a US soldier has been captured by whoever it is we're fighting there. After 8 years with nothing to show, the war in Afghanistan is on track to go for another 8 years, after which we shall get fed up and go home, leaving the Afghans to recommence killing, cooking and eating each other in their time-honoured fashion. In Iran, Little Squinty has cancelled a scheduled trip to Africa, perhaps mindful of the fate of African leader Kwame Nkrumah, who, back in 1966, left his country on a state visit to China, only to find when he arrived in Peking that he was no longer leader of anything. What else? Oh yes, something happened in Honduras. If anyone has a quarter, I'll call somebody who cares. Here's news from a nation that is important to the USA, though you'd never know it from the press coverage. That would be Mexico, population 110 million, which is not far short of Iraq, Afghanistan and Iran combined, and with a 2,000-mile border with the USA. What's the news? All bad. The Mexican economy is set to shrink 6% this year. Remittances from Mexicans working in the USA are down 20% because of our recession. Tourist revenues are down 60% because of swine flu. And the Mexican oil reserves show every sign of having peaked, with declining production to go with stagnant prices. The only bright spot in the Mexican economy is the drug business, which is flourishing, along with its feeder industries. Murder for hire, arms smuggling, corruption of police and border officials, and so on. Things really aren't going well down there south of the border. Still, the great project of importing Mexican civilization into the United States must go on. Tucson Medical Center, a major hospital down there in Arizona, is advertising, I say again, they are advertising, a package for wealthy Mexican women to come into the U.S. as obstetric tourists, to have their baby here, thereby giving the baby automatic US citizenship under the current lunatic interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Tucson's maternity package costs $2,300 for a vaginal birth with a 2-day stay, and $4,600 for a cesarean section and a 4-day stay, assuming no complications. That includes exams for the newborn and a massage for the new mother. There is a $500 surcharge per additional child in case you deliver twins. U.S. citizenship for sale, courtesy of the world's greatest healthcare system. Folks, it's a truncated radio derb this week, on account of us having squinched in the recording of it between my economics seminar and the long holiday weekend. My tireless research assistants, Candy, Mandy, Brandy and Pepe, did their best with the week's news, but they are so exhausted by their efforts, I told them to take the rest of the day off. Go keep Jonah company in the grotto. I'll be up there with them very shortly, relaxing with a bottle of Chateau Lafite, a bowl of truffles, liberal supplies of baby oil, and some patriotic music. This great republic has struggled through another year, and may yet make it through the decade. Fingers crossed, anyway. Happy July 4th, everybody. Okay, Pepe, I'll be right there.